Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur with a general introduction that we are about to begin a very well-known sugya in Shas. In fact, this is one of the longest sugyas that you will encounter, insofar as from this point till the end of the perek, which will carry you over to Daf Chof Aleph, the general topic is in the realm of what we call Tumas and Taros, issues of ritual purity and defilement. The nature of these Dapim of Gemara is such that we're going to be encountering topics that many people who are learning Gemaras for the first time are going to run into topics that they are, generally speaking, not familiar with. And in order to have an appreciation of these Gemaras, one has to have a broad background in the realm of Tumas and Taros. So my experience has been that this kind of Gemara, the first run through, might be a daunting experience. The primary problem is, once again, it's the lack of familiarity with the topics that we will be exposed to. And the difficulty of giving proper introductions to topics that are so broad that if time were devoted to introductions, there would be practically no time left for dealing with the actual Gemara text. So, maybe by way of analogy, if you can imagine yourself arriving in a new community, and naturally one doesn't know his way about. So, he goes from place A to place B, place B to place C, place C to place D, with someone accompanying him, or maybe using a map, and repeats that process, repeats the trip around the area, around the community, and after living there for a while, it becomes second nature. The same can be said about this type of Gemara, where we will be dealing with the topics of Tumas and Taras, and many points are assumed to be understood by the one learning. When you're learning it for the first time, the assumption is simply not the case. So with that disclaimer in mind, and with a certain level of trepidation, we begin this sugya, the sugya known as Reb Chanina Sgana Koyanim. It gets its name from the opening of the Mishnah. But as we said, have no fear, everything is gettable. Maybe not on the first round. And let us now begin the Mishnah. We've emphasized the Tanoim whose names will be the focus of the attention as we go on in the sugya with a double underline. So you can see Reb Chanina Sgana Koyanim, and later Rabbi Akiva is emphasized. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim Oimer, Mimeim Shel Koyanim, Lo nimnu milisrof es habosar shenitmo bevlad hatumo, im habosar shenitmo be'av hatumo. Afalpi shemoisifin tumo al tumoso. We didn't mention earlier, but this Mishnah is going to be a classic example of a Mishnah that is very difficult to understand at face value. The Gemara will raise the obvious questions, and only after the Gemara explains the Mishnah will the Mishnah take on coherence. So as we read through the Mishnah, we'll read and provide a more or less literal translation. but that is not going to really shed much light on its understanding. So Rabbi Chanina Skanagorim tells us that it never happened, or it's Mimeim Shokainim, that in all the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they did not withhold themselves from burning meat that became defiled. Bosher Shnitma Bevala Tumah is meat that became defiled through contact with a secondary level Tumah, as opposed to the realm or the category known as Ava Tumah, that's primary level Tumah. Meat that came into contact with secondary level Tumah, the highest level of that would be what's called a Rishon L'Tumah. So we're talking about meat, sacrificial meat that came into contact with a Rishon level Tumah. And in the realm of Tumah Sinas, generally speaking, you're always dropping down one level. So something that touches an Av becomes a Rishon. Something that touches a Rishon becomes a Sheni. And something that touches a Sheni becomes a Shlishi, assuming that it's Truma or Kochim. The realm of Shlishi doesn't exist in the realm of the common, the Chulin type food. And Shlishi can make a Revi if you're in the realm of Kochim. So this Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina ben Eskanon Kohen, is telling me that the Kohanim wouldn't withhold themselves from putting together Bosar that's nitma bevlada tuma with Bosar that was nitma be'ava tuma. In other words, they would burn, if the meat became pusel, they would burn the, naturally it becomes pusel by virtue of the fact that it's touching tuma. So because we're dealing, of course, with sacrificial meat. So they would burn secondary level meat together with first, with Rishon level. And the Mishnah says, even though that by, through doing that, you are adding Tuma to the Tuma that was already there. And that is a very difficult line, because when you put Sheni meat together with a Rishon, it doesn't seem that you really are adding anything. So this needs to be explained later. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva v'Yomar, Rabbi Akiva goes a step further and says, Mimeim shokonim lo nimnu milahadlik es hashemen shenifsal bitvul yoim. Bener shenitma betomei meis. Afalpisha moisifin tumo al tumoso. Again, you see that expression. Even though they are increasing the level of tumo, which generally speaking is not allowed, but since we're dealing with all the items are tumei anyway, so they would put them together when being burnt. Now, what did Rabbi Kiva say though? He says they didn't withhold themselves from lahadlik es hashemen. Let's be more specific. The shemen is shemen of truma. A tvul yom is considered a second level kedusha. This is a person who had been tomei, and at the end of his tuma period, he immersed in a mikveh, but he didn't experience sundown yet. He's called a tvul yom, tvul from the lashon of tvila, immersion in the mikveh. So he is a tvul yom. So we have here shemen Shel Truma, the oil having come into contact with a person like that, that's a Tvuyom, the Shemen would become a third level Tuma, third level down Tuma, and they would burn that Shemen, which is what you have to do to Truma Shenitbeis, you have to burn it. They would burn it in a Ner. A Ner is a, sometimes it's translated as a candle, but really it's the receptacle that holds the oil and the wick. So they would burn the shemen, this shemen shenifsal b'tvuyom, in a ner shenitma b'tomei meis. The ner is a receptacle, and it came into contact with someone who was a tomei meis. Now, someone who's a tomei meis is an av hatuma. If he touches this vessel, the ner, he'll make it into a rishon, the tuma. So you're taking third level tuma oil, burning it in a first level tuma ner. Well, there you do see adding a level of tumah, because if that happens, so the third level coming into contact with the first level, it will become, that which was a third becomes a sheni level of tumah. So there you see an element of moisif and tumah tumah. So however, this will be discussed at length later as well. Omar Rebbe Meir. Midivrayim lo magnu. Now there's a pronoun here, and the Gemara will analyze who this is referring to. But Rabbi Meir says, from their teachings or their words, we learn shesorfin truma tahira im hatameya the Pesach, that one can burn truma tahira, that truma is the tithe that one gives from his produce to a kohen. He can burn truma tahira together with truma tameya on Pesach. Of course, we're dealing with the zman of biur chometz, since we're talking about truma that's chometz, has to be burnt anyway. You can burn them together, even though you would seem to be metame the truma by putting it in contact with the truma, with the truma tamea. And in general, throughout the year, you're not allowed to metame truma tahora. But Rabbi Meir says, well, from their teaching, and again we emphasize there's a pronoun, from their teaching, we learn that you're allowed to burn the Truma Torah together with the Truma Temeah on Pesach. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Eino hi hamida. Rabbi Yossi says, that's not accurate. You know, so you can't learn the heter of burning Truma Torah with Temeah from what they had said. Umoidim, Rabbi Elezer of Rabbi Yeshua, Shesorfen zu le'atzmo v'zu le'atzmo. They concede, they will be in agreement that each one can be burnt separately. Alma nechliku. So what are they arguing about? Let's just, for the sake of accuracy, go over the last line again. That modim Rabbi Elezer of Rabbi Yeshua Shesorfen zu le'atzmo v'zu le'atzmo. They concede that you should burn each one separately. So alma nechliku, if they're agreeing to that, what do they disagree about? Al hatluya v'al hatmeya. Tluya is truma that is sofek tamei. There's a doubt as to whether it's really tamei. So they argue, can you burn that together with truma that's tamei? Shabelezer omer tisorev zulatzma v'zulatzma. They shall be kept apart, separate from one another when you burn them. Rabbi Yeshua omer shtehen kachas. They can be burnt together. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading. Lahazbir le'eza teisefes tumo hiskavein Rabbi Chanino zgan ha-kohenim bereisha le'masnisen. In the opening part of the Mishnah, and we already anticipated this question, we pointed out that the mention was made of their addition, adding to the tumo level of the item. Where do you see in the reisha that phenomenon taking place? The Gemara begins, Michti, Boser shenitma v'vlad ha-tuma, mai havei, meat that became tummy through its contact with a vlad ha-tuma. Vlad ha-tuma, in this case, is a rishon l'tuma. So the meat that came into contact with a rishon level tuma, that an example of that might very simply be, if you had a dead mouse that touched a plate. The dead mouse is an avatum. It makes the plate a rishon l'tumah. So the meat that came into contact with that plate, that would be basar that becomes tumei v'vlad ha-tumah. So what's the status of the meat? Mayhave sheni. It's a sheni level tumah. Kisorif le bahadi basar shenitma ba'avatumah. Mayhave. When you burn it together with meat that came into contact with an avatuma, what happens to the meat that came into contact with an avatuma? The meat becomes a rishon l'tuma. So, what change takes place by virtue of the fact that I'm putting into contact a sheni level tuma with a rishon level tuma? My hafe, what happens? Sheni, sheni v'sheni hu. We ask my hafe, what is the basur shenitma biavatuma that touches basur shenitma bivalatuma? Well, it's a sheni. Well, sheni v'sheni hu. At the beginning, it was a sheni also, and it still is a sheni. My moisif loy tuma al tuma so ika. What addition to tuma is there in this case? Omar Rav Yehuda. Now, before we go on, we take note of the diamonds, and on the side, we have a mivneh, a heading, where you see a diamond, and we've written shlavim. These are stages. Kidei levases shuvaso shel Rabbi Yehuda. Stages in order to explain or establish the answer of Rabbi Yehuda. So, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Hacha, Bevlad, Vlad, Askinon. The reference in the Mishnah to Boser Shenitma Bevlad Hatuma, it really is Vlad, Vlad. Vlad, by the way, literally is the offspring, the child of. So, the Boser featured in the Mishnah that was Nitma Bevlad Hatuma, he says, is really Vlad, Vlad, the child of the child. In the literal sense, it means a second level tumah, sheni l'tumah. So meat that came, sacrificial meat that came into contact with a sheni level tumah, the have le shlishi, this meat is a third level tumah. Meat that came into contact with a sheni l'tumah, the meat becomes a shlishi l'tumah, v'kosovar. And Rabbi Hanina is of the opinion, shlishi mutu laso so sheni, by having this shlishi level meat being burnt together with the rishon level meat, the rishon will make the shlishi become a sheni, raising its level, its of tuma, its level of severity. That's okay, you can do that. The Gemara asks, now the triangles are explained on the side, kushos al hashlovim diliel. These triangles, each triangle, when it appears, is a question on whatever stage of explanation we were engaged in. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha ein oichel metama oichel." Food doesn't communicate tuma to another piece of food. So how can there be the addition of tuma? How can there be tosefes tuma if food doesn't metama food? The Sanya, and there's a very, this is a very long question. As you can see, we have a long question marking. How can you speak about Tosefes Tuma when food doesn't mitama food? Desanya, Yochel Yehei Oichel mitama Oichel. Could it be that food is mitama another piece of food? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says V'chiyutan Mayim Al Zera, V'nofal Minivlosim Olov Tomei Hu. That's the pasuk, and the pasuk says that when water falls on Zera, is a reference to food, literally seeds. And then a nevela falls on them, on the food that had come into contact with the water, then it becomes tomei. Hu tomei, v'ein oise kayotze boi tomei. So the pasuk described a piece of food that became tomei, and the word hu at the end is used to infer from it another point, and that is the food becomes tamei, but it cannot make another piece of food tamei. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and on the side we have a starred note, how sograi mevodidim es hashurah she'ena mosifin lakusha. The ikar abaya mishitas ravina shemofi achriya sograi. These brackets are designed to isolate a section of Gemara that don't add to the question. The main question arises after the bracketed section, once the Gemara introduces Ravina, then we'll be focusing on the mainstay of the question. So after having read a Tanaic source and the diuk from it, that hu tamei v'ein oisekosevo tamei, we skip the brackets. Elo l'ravina mishmei d'rova d'yomar mikra molei diber hakosuf. That the pasuk is clear and complete. Lo shna chulin, lo shna truma, lo shna kochim, einoi oisekayotze boi. The pasuk is across the boards, whether you're dealing with truma or chulin or kachim, food is not mitame food. So my ikol amemar. So then, how do we go? How are we going to explain the Mishnah, or better yet, how would Ravina mishmei de Rava? How would Ravina, in the name of Rava, explain that which the Mishnah describes? Rav Chanina Leskanakunim describing burning two pieces of food together. They're having contact with one another, resulting in the elevation level of tumah. But food isn't matama food. So what are we going to say? So the Gemara will go on, the second diamond, as we said in our introduction, these are stages in trying to understand what was said. And he says, Hocha b'mayaskinon de'iko mashkin bahari basar de'iko metame machmas mashkin. We're not talking about food directly, metame food, but we're talking about food that happened to have wetness on it, so that the wetness, the liquid that's on the food, it becomes tame, and it, in turn, the mashkin on the food is metame the food, if you will. We'll get to that later. Let's go back over the bracketed section. We should point out the length of the bracketed section by the marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Text, you see a word, Hanicha, encircled with a dotted line descending. Within the brackets, we read Hanicha la'abaye. That means that there really is no question that needs to be raised if you accept Abaye's approach to this matter. D'yomar lo shanu ela b'chulin. The din of ein oichol metama oichol, that's restricted to the realm of the mundane. Aval b'trum of the kachim oisek hayotze bo. However, within the realm of truma and kachim, sanctified food, then food will metame food. Ula Rav Ado bar Avo mishmei de Rava. We squiggle underline Rava because first we have Rav Ado's version of Rava, and then two lines later Ravina's version of Rava. Well, according to Rav Ado's version, Nami, there's also no problem. The Amar lo shanu ela chulin utruma. The idea of ein oichel metame oichel exists within chulin and truma. Avol bekachim oisek hayotze ben. But within the realm of kachim, which is the topic of our Mishnah, so food is metame food shapir. Then our Mishnah can be understood. There is no problem. So that we're dealing with according to them, you're dealing with a Rishon level Tuma coming into contact with a Shlishi level Tuma of Kochim, making the Shlishi into a Sheni, so that's being Moisif Tuma al Tumaso. Ela la Ravina Mishmei de Rav and Yomar Mikro Molei Dibra Kosov. But according to Ravina, that said that the Posuk that we saw featured in the Tanaic source that precluded the possibility of oichel metama oichel is across the boards. Lo shno chulin, lo shno truma, lo shno kachim. No distinction made between these different categories of food. Eino oise kayotze bo. Food simply is not metame food. Ma'iko lameimar. So how are we to make sense of Rabbi Chanina ben Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim's teaching? The Gemara answers, again another diamond, second shlav, a second stage in understanding Rav Yehuda. Hocha b'mayaskinon, de'iko mashkin b'hadi bosor, de'ko mitame machmas mashkin. The Rishon that's coming into contact with the Shlishi, it's coming into contact with Shlishi bosor that is wet, that's mukshir l'kabel tuma. So it's not simply a function of food being metame food, but it's food being metame the mashkim that is on the food, and thereby making it into a sheni. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, Hai bosor, hai im bosor shenitma be'avatuma im bosor u'mashkin miboyalei. The Lashon of the Mishnah should have reflected that you're talking about the burning of meat that was nitma be'avatuma with bosor and mashkim that was nitma be'vlad hatuma. That's what it should have said. The Gemara responds, Ela, nihi de'ein oichel metame oichel midoraisa midorabonan mihu metame. What Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim was speaking about was on a rabbinic level. It is true that food is not mitame food on a Torah level, but on a rabbinic level, it can. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva, now again a quote from the Mishnah, and you can see Rabbi Akiva was highlighted with a double underline above. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva, he added and said, Mimeim shokayim lo nimnu milahadlik. The Kohanim did not withhold themselves from burning truma that was nifsal betvuyom in a nair that was nitma betomimes. Now the Gemara analyzes Shitas, or the comment Shitas Rabbi Akiva. On the side of the Gemara we have, under our Noseh heading, Lahasbir Ma Rabbi Akiva Moisif, or Mechadesh Al Rabbi Hanina. What is Rabbi Akiva adding to that which we already heard in the name of Rabbi Hanina Skana Koyanim? The Gemara. Michti. Let's look into this. Shemen Shenifsal B'Tvul Yom. Shemen that became unfit by virtue of a Tvul Yom having contact with the Shemen Shel Truma. Mayhavi, what is the status of the Shemen? Shlishi, it's a third level Tuma. V'chimadlik le b'ner shenitma b'tomei meis. If you light the oil in a ner, the oil receptacle that came into contact with a tomei meis, what is mayhave? What is the status of the oil? It's a sheni, because the ner that was nitma b'tomei meis is a rishon. So we're taking shlishi truma and putting it into a ner that's a rishon. What is the shemen now? That's the question of my having. What is the shemen now? Answer, sheni. You've then elevated a shlishi into a sheni. Well, my komash molon, what is Rabbi Akiva telling me? Shlishi muter la so sheni, that which originally was a shlishi, you can now, you're allowed to make it into a sheni. Well, hainu hach, that's exactly what Rabbi Hanina spoke about earlier. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the room. You can align this with the star above. And at that point in the Gemara, that's what Rav Yehuda said in explaining Rabbi Hanina's Gan HaKohanim. Well, Omar Rav Yehuda, Hocha B'ner Shalmatechas Askinan. The ner that Rabbi Hanina was speaking about was an iron or metallic ner. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah, says regarding metal the following pasuk and its application to Tuma. B'chalal cherev. The word halal is a reference to a corpse, or more specifically, a murder victim. And the pasuk taken literally, it's someone murdered by a sword. Cherev harehu kachalal. The cherev, which is metallic, a sword, is made of metal, is like the halal, has the same Tuma status as the corpse. Well, what's the Tuma status of a corpse? It's called Avi Avosa Tuma. It's the highest level of Tuma. The sword, the metal in this case, we're not restricting ourselves to a sword, but the metal has the same status as the corpse. This is in a very unusual situation in the realm of Tumas and Taras, where you don't have a descent of one level, which we're accustomed to, but rather there's a sideways move, so to speak, a parallel level of Tuma. Cherev harehu kachalal. The cherev, the metal, is like the corpse. The havule, the ner, which falls under the heading of cherev, the metal, the havule av hatuma. It becomes a primary level of Tuma. The kosovar. So what we now have described is oil that was a third level tuma coming into contact with an av hatuma. If we look at the Rashi at the top, v'chalal cherev, hikish cherev l'chalal mateches metal shenoga b'meis arehu avi avos hatuma k'meis atzmo. If the sword comes into contact with a corpse, so it becomes like the corpse. Vishenoga betomemes. If it touches a person who came into contact with a corpse, now the person is an avatuma. What happens with the metal? Again, parallel movement. Harehu avatuma. Kemohu. The metal in this case, the ner is like the person that was an avatuma. And this is a gzeres hakosav huva matechas etzel tumas meis velo etzel shar tumas. This is a special scriptural ruling with regard to metal alone, and metal only within the realm of defilement of the dead, as opposed to other forms of tumah. So, what did Rabbi Akiva describe? He described a ner that was nitma betomei meis. The tomei meis is an avatuma. The ner, which is made of metal, is also now an avatuma. And I put oil that is a shlishi into the ner. What happens? The oil that's a shlishi becomes a rishon. The kosovar. Let's just read the line, the top line again. After we read the chalal cherev cherev aruka chalal, that's background. The haviole, the ner that came into contact with a tomei meis, the ner is an avatuma. The kosovar shlishi mutar laso sarishon. The oil, which was a third level, a shlishi level, you are allowed to make it into a rishon level. And again, we're dealing with shemen that originally was truma oil. The Gemara asks, "Umay doicheke the Rav Yehuda leukme v'ner shel mateches." What pushed Rabbi Yehuda? He was the author of this answer. That's why we have an arrow with an indicator to go back to Amud Aleph at the bottom. That's where we were introduced to Rav Yehuda. And the question is, what pushed Rav Yehuda into saying that the Mishnah was speaking specifically about a metal ner? Nukme, you could have set up the Mishnah b'ner shel cheres, an earthenware, a clay ner, umay hoisif. And we should point out, by way of background, cheres, clay, cannot become an avatuma. The clay can at best or at maximum level of tuma become a rishon latuma. The oil was described as a shlishi latuma. Now, to leave things at that, then I'm putting shlishi latuma oil into a ner shel cheres, which is a rishon, the oil becoming a sheni, there wouldn't be any additional chidush in Rabbi Kiva over Rabbi Hanina Askana Koyanim. And yet the Mishnah presented Rabbi Kiva as being moisif. So the Gemara is asking now, if you in this, what pushed Rabbi Yehuda to speak about a ner shel mateches? Why could he not have spoken about a clay ner, umay hoisif? What would hoisif have been? The ilu hasam, in the case of Rabbi Hanina, he spoke about kochim meats. Now, kochim, we said earlier, can reach a fourth level tuma. So that if you have kochim, that's a third level tuma, potentially it could, if it touches other kochim, other sanctified meat, it will make it into a fourth level tuma. The ability of making something else tome is termed tome. If you have an item that itself has become defiled, but it cannot pass the tuma on another level, it is called puzzle. Now, something that is puzzle in your mind's eye is a weaker level. Now, we can say about truma, once it reaches a third level of tuma, it cannot pass on tuma to something else. So, truma, that's a third level, is called puzzle. We'll call it, in a manner of speaking, it's one step closer to being something that's tohor as opposed to something that's tome. Something that's tome, as we said, we're being a little repetitive, but something that's tome, not only is it inherently tome, but it transfers tuma to something else. So now, with that introduction, we go back to our Gemara. What is Rabbi Akiva adding to Rabbi Hanina Skana Konim level wise? So the Gemara says, the Ilu Hasam, in the case of Rabbi Hanina Skana Konim, was speaking about two pieces of kochim meat, a shlishi kochim with a rishon kochim. That's tome v'tome. So that's something that's already tamei, you can make it a little more tamei, so to speak. V'iruacha. But with regard to Rabbi Kiva, puzzle the tamei. That's a bigger chiddush, that I'm allowed to take something that is a lower level of severity, something like the shemen of truma, that's a third level, and as we said, it's only puzzle, it's merely puzzle, and I can put it in contact with the into the ner shel cheres, which is a rishon, and make that which was merely puzzle into a sheni level of tuma. That's a question. So why did Rav Yehuda feel pressed into setting up the Mishnah as oil of truma put into a ner shel mateches, which was an avatuma, making the oil shoot up to a rishon? And he didn't explain it with the clay ner. Omar Rava. So Rava explains masnis and kshisei. Literally, it means that the Mishnah posed a difficulty to Rav Yehuda, forcing him into his position. What's the point? My iria detoni ner shenit matomei meis. If we were speaking about a ner shel cheres, a clay ner, so what? Of what significance was it that it came into contact with a tomei mace? It could have come into contact with a sheretz or a nevel or any other form of tumah. Why does the Mishnah speak about the ner having become tomei specifically through a tomei mace? Nisni, let it teach shenit ma'be sheretz. The Mishnah could have taught about a ner, an oil receptacle that became tomei through contact with a sheretz. Why then the specification of tomei mace? Ela ezu dover shechaluka tum also bein tumas mace l'sheretz. What is it concerning which we can say there's a distinction between tomei mace and tumas sheretz? Havei omer ze mateches. In the case of metal. In the case of metal, there is a difference. When metal touches tomei mace, the tumah moves in a parallel fashion, a replication of the tumah. When, in the case of metal coming into contact with a sheretz, there's a descent in the level of tumah. So from the fact that the Mishnah spoke about the ner becoming tomei through tomei mace, it must have been something that's unique to tomei mace, leading Rav Yehuda to understand the Mishnah is talking about a ner shel mateches. Before we go on to the Gemara, we want to take note of the triangle marking, and it's featured. The explanation is featured on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading. You see a triangle with the point facing up. Rava Mochiach Shirbi Kiva Sover the Tumas Mashkin Latame Achirim Doraisa. Rava will make an effort to prove that Rabbi Akiva holds that liquids have the capacity of transferring tuma to other items, to food, on a Torah level. We call this Tumas Mashkin Doraisa. Now, Tumas Mashkin, there are actually two aspects of Tumas Mashkin that are found elsewhere in the Perek. There is the Mashkin itself becoming Tomei. The Mashkin is the liquid, and there is the ability of the liquid to transfer Tuma onto something else. That's what we are talking about now. And Rava wants to make the point that Rabbi Kiva holds that that operates on a Torah level. The inverted triangle represents nisayon lidchos, an attempt to reject it, and then the triangle will straighten out again to point facing up, which is a response to that attempt to reject. So now the Gemara. Omar Rava. Shma mino. Kosova Rabbi Kiva, let us conclude that Rabbi Kiva holds Tumas Mashkin Lutame Achirim Doraisa. Now the dashed underline is simply to focus in on the main point of this Gemara. So he's saying that the ability of Mashkin to pass Tuma on to something else is an ability that exists on a Torah level. The Isalka Daitoch Derabonan. If you were to think, as others do, by the way, but if you were to think that Rabbi Kiva holds that this ability is only rabbinic, michti, hai ner, mai komahanyo lahai shemen. What effect does the ner have on the oil? If it's a function of making the shemen itself unfit, the shemen was already posel. We had been describing shemen that came into contact with a tvul yom. Therefore, he must be talking about something more, namely that the oil not only becomes posel itself, but it's vested with the power of being metame something else. The Gemara asks, Mimai, how do you see from this that Rabbi Kiva holds it is doraisa dilmo letame achirim midrabanan? Maybe all that Rabbi Kiva is saying is that the shemen that was already posel gufei, because it had come into contact with a tvul yom, it now can metama something else on a rabbinic level. The Gemara answers, E midrabonon, if all Rabbi Akiva was describing was the ability of mashkin to metama other things on a rabbinic level, then my irya ba'av hatuma. Why does he have to speak about a ner shinitma ba'av hatuma filu barishon v'shemin ami tchila have? Here is something that's very, very unusual, but it's purely rabbinic in nature. Till now, we know as a rule of thumb, tuma, when item A comes into contact with item B, there's a descent in tuma level. We were exposed today to an exception where you saw a parallel tuma transfer, parallel level in the case of metal and tumas mace. And now we're introduced to something very unusual, where item of lower level of tumah will make something else, that's something else being mashkin, a higher level of tumah, where contact between two items results in a lower level tumah, raising the level of the tumah of the second item in which there was contact. And that is the case when you're dealing with the realm of mashkin on a rabbinic plane. And we'll see that very short. Let's read the Gemara and we'll see how that operates through the words of the Gemara. If, and the Gemara proves its point, that if Rabbi Kiva's whole point was that the oil becomes tome to affect others on a purely rabbinic level, then once you get into the rabbinic realm, you don't have to speak about a ner that came into contact with an avatuma. Even if the ner was a rishon or even a sheni level tuma, you know what happens to mashkin on a rabbinic level that comes into contact with a rishon or a sheni? Imagine you have mashkin that came into contact with a sheni level tuma. The mashkin will become a rishon. It goes up a level. It goes up to a rishon level. Disnan, and here is the rule in a Tanaic source, kol ha-poisel es ha-truma, anything that's capable of ruining truma. That could be a poisel es ha-truma is something that's a sheni. A sheni l'tuma will, if you have, let's say, food that had been touched by a sheretz, the food becomes a rishon, and then that food touches something else, that something else becomes a sheni. If mashkin comes into contact with that sheni, the mashkin will become a rishon. So the rule says, kol ha-poisel es ha-truma metame mashkin lios tchila. Tchila means a rishon level. Tchila literally means first, like the word rishon, lios tchila. Chutz mitvul yom. There's one exception to this rule, and that's with regard to a tvul yom who touches mashkin. In such a case, the mashkin does not become a rishon. Well, since the Mishnah, however, focused on the ner that was nitma specifically by contact with an av hatuma, I know that we're not talking about anything rabbinic. Ela shma mino d'oraisohi. Rather, we see that Rabbi Kiva's position regarding mashkin that became tomei is such that mashkin can metama other food on a Torah level. Again, let's just say that again with, let's say, more accurate accentuation, and that is that the ability of mashke to transfer tuma to something else, that ability is midoraisa. Omar Rabbi Meir. Midivrehem Lomadnu. Again, a quote from the Mishnah, from their teaching. And when we learned the Mishnah, we emphasized there's a pronoun, and it's not clear who it's referring to. And that the Gemara will spend time on. Rabbi Meir says, from their teaching we learn shesorf and truma tohoro im hatameo bepesach. And when you're dealing with the truma that's also chometz, some of it tohor and some tameo, you can burn them together. Even though by burning them together, so you're going to be metame the truma tohora. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a nosei Mivne heading, the double underline is featured, under which we've written Nisyonos, these are attempts, Lefa'aneach, to decipher, reveal, Zehusam, the identity, Shel Midivrehem, Shemehem Lomad, Rabbi Meir, as no. Rabbi Meir came to a conclusion that you can burn Truma Torah with Truma Temeah on Pesach, or you know, at the Zman of Bir Chometz, you can burn them together. Who did we learn this from? And that's the Gemara's question when it opens with the question, Midivrayam Daman. From whose teaching did we learn this? On the side of the Gemara, the other insam, we call the inside margin, we have a little item that we entitle Tarshim, a little chart, Al-Pi HaGemara on Tezvav Lomenal. This is, we'll call this an introductory note, based on the Gemara on Tezvav Lomenal, Mimi Lomad Rabbi Meir as Dino. From whom did Rabbi Meir learn his law, his teaching? Rabbi Meir matir lisrof chometz truma Torah im hatameya. Now the Gemara will raise as possibilities. Maybe he learned it from Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyanim, who was matir lisrof basar koshim shenitma mivlad hatuma im basar basar shenitma be'av hatuma. So we see the putting together of a lower level thing with a higher level thing, and that's okay. So maybe from him we're supposed to learn Rabbi Meir's conclusion. Another possibility is Rabbi Meir drew his conclusion from the teaching of Rabbi Yeshua, who would hiter letame yayin shel truma she nishbach mechovis shenishbar. Rabbi Yeshua, we will eventually learn, allows, and here you have to take this with a certain amount of circumspection, but Rabbi Yeshua allows one to metame truma that is flowing forth from a barrel that cracked. However, that would be a great misjustice to truth if we would leave you with that. However, there's the circumstances we haven't explained. Let's just wait for that until we get to Amud Beis. But we do see that Rabbi Yeshua is allowing you to metame something that otherwise is tohar. So based on that, maybe Rabbi Meir drew his conclusion. We turn to the Gemara. With the question having been asked, Midivrayam Daman, from whom did Rabbi Meir learn that you can burn Truma Tahora with Truma Tameh on Pesach? And we have the double underlines, which we said before were stages or attempts to explain the word Midivrayam. Ilemo Midivray Rabbi Chanino Skana Koyanim. If you think that Rabbi Meir's conclusion is drawn from Rabbi Chanino Skana Koyanim. Well, that can't be, because, as the Gemara will point out, mi domi, how can you compare them? Hossam, in the case of Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyanim, tome v'tome. You were dealing with the two elements that you were putting together were both classified as tome. Acha, Rabbi Meir's conclusion is a case of tohor v'tome. And halachically, that would be more extreme than that which Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyanim talks about. Therefore, I can't conclude Rabbi Meir's teaching from Rabbi Chanina. V'ela, another stage, that's maybe Midivrei Rabbi Akiva. Maybe from Rabbi Akiva's halacha of the burning of the shemen trumoshinit mace in the metal nair. Once again, that's not effective either. We can't learn Rabbi Meir's teaching from that. Mi dummy, how can you compare them? Hossam, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, posel v'tame, you were putting together the shemen that was posel with something that was tome. Acha, in Rabbi Meir, tohor v'tame. That's more extreme. And you could ask, even if I know Rabbi Akiva's din, who says you would be allowed to go so far as to burn something that's tohor with something that's tome? Well, the Gemara raises a question, and it's also another stage in trying to understand things. Note the structure. This question lasts till the top line of Tes Vav Lamed Aleph. Neimo Kosova Rebbe Meir. Should we say that Rebbe Meir is of the following opinion? Masnisin, in reference to Rebbe Chanino Sgana Kliyanim, that the Mishnah is Bi'av Hatumo De Oraisa Uvlad Hatumo De Rabbonon, that you were taking meat that had come into contact with an avatumo, which makes it tome midoraisa, and other meat that was tome only on a rabbinic level. The midoraisa tohor ma'alyo, that from a Torah standpoint, the meat that we describe this tome midrabanan on a Torah level, it's really tohor. So that what are you doing? You're taking something on a Torah level. You're taking meat, kachim meat that's tohor, and burning it together with meat that is a rishon level of tuma. It came into contact with the ava tuma. So you have something that's on a Torah level, tome. Touching something on a Torah level is really tohor, and that would enable me to conclude that which Rebbe Meir concludes. Umay midivrayim, and then what would midivrayim of the Mishnah that Rebbe Meir was citing, the words of whom? Midivrei Rebbe Chanino Sgana Kohenim. So, should we say then that Rebbe Meir's pshat in Rebbe Chanino Sgana Kohenim is that you were dealing with meat that was nitma ba'avatuma doraisa, together with meat that was only tomei midrabanan? That's the question. Should we say that? You might be asking, how does meat become tomei midrabanan? So Rashi gives an example. Imagine the following. Imagine the meat was put into a vessel that had become tomei because of contact with mashkim tomeim. Now, mashkim tameim, liquids that became tomei, are incapable on a Torah level of conveying tuma to a vessel. But on a rabbinic level, that exists. So, if we say that Rebbe Meir holds that that's the pshat in Rebbe Chanino's teaching, then Rebbe Meir's conclusion of burning something that's tohor with something that's tomei would have been drawn from Rebbe Chanino Sgana Kohanim, and that's what the Gemara on the top line says of Tez Vav Amar Aleph, Omai Midivreim Midivrei Rebbe Chanino Sgana Kohanim. And Rebbe Meir was referring to his learning from Rebbe Chanino Sgan HaKohanim. So the question is, should we say that? Omar Reish Lokish Mishum Bar Kapora. Skip the brackets for a moment, just so that we make the reading as smooth as possible. Reish Lakish, in the name of Bar Kapora, says, "My midivrayim. You know what midivrayim? Who the midivrayim is? Who Rebbe Meir really learns from? Midivrei Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua. He learns from them. Okay, but for the time being, what did we just do marking wise? We raised the question, suggesting that maybe Rebbe Meir learns from Rebbe Chanino's Gan HaKohanim, assuming that Rebbe Chanino's, that the pshat in Rebbe Chanino is as we said. The Gemara says, no, Rebbe, that's not the pshat in Rebbe Meir. Rather, Reish Lakish tells you, Rebbe Meir learns from Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yeshua. Now, let's go over the bracketed section. Reish Lakish, in the name of Bar Kapora, says Masnisin, namely Rabbi Chanino Sgan HaKohanim, is Ba'av HaTuma Doraisa Uvlad HaTuma Do'oiraisa. If that's the case, so then that in and of itself doesn't match Rebbe Meir at all, because Rebbe Meir spoke about burning something that's tor with something that is tomei, and Rebbe Chanino, according to Reish Lakish, is talking about two things that are tamei doraisa. So, what does Rebbe Meir? Who is Rebbe Meir really referring to? So, as we said, he's referring to Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Yeshua. The job of the Gemara now will be to discover which which Rabbi Yoshua are you referring to? Where did he teach something that would parallel or be the basis of Rabbi Meir's conclusion? We have a structural note to pay attention to. On the top of the in the margin, we have a diamond featured. This is Lekasher Bain Reish Lakish Rav Nachman Lekamon Sha'omru Oisadover. We're using the diamond to enable us to connect Reish Lakish to Rav Nachman, who appears in the middle of the Omid. And at that point in the Gemara, it says V'chein Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says likewise, meaning likewise, like Reish Lakish, who was quite a bit further up on the page. So the markings help you connect these two together. The bow tie that you see are Pirushim al Midivrehem. We're going to see we're trying to explain what is Midivrehem referring to. So far we are saying Midivrehem, according to Reish Lakish, is from Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. On Omid Beis, on Tezvav Omid Beis, so you'll notice another bow tie in the middle of the Omid, on Tezvav Omid Beis, where the Gemara says, Midivrayim is a reference to Rabbi Chanino Sgan HaKoyanim. And, of course, that's a way off. We'll have to get back to that. In the meantime, at the point that we are holding now, the job of the Gemara is to find what comment did Rabbi Yoshua make that would enable Rabbi Meir to reach his conclusion. Unfortunately, the framework of Daf Yomi doesn't complement this particular sugya. It's a very long sugya, as we mentioned in our introduction, but we are in the context of Daf Yomi, so we'll have to pause around here and just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Our hope and prayer is that we will be able to get into this topic when we pick up our shiur next time. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.